Okay, good morning. Today's class is in the Refuah Shleima of the healing of Eliza Simcha Shina Masha Bad Bracha. Also in the success of Yekutel Yehuda Ben Mordechai Rivka Gittel. Success in Yad Shamayim Elisheva Ben Amak Gadiel Ben Elisheva Emet Ben Elisheva Shefa Ben Elisheva Reina Maka Betova Basha and Gadiel Ben Elisheva. Also, please, this class is also for the success of the soldiers and the hostages that should come home. And God willing that we should all break the Klipas Amalek. God willing. We know that the fast yesterday, we had a fast yesterday, and that the 13th of Adar represents exactly the day we fought Amalek. So you could see this whole week, you're going to have real tremendous test with doubt and et cetera, and everything. This is exactly how, you know, God prepares you for these wins. So we're going to talk about chapter 10 today, just some practical concepts on Purim, in case I do a class or not, because I'm going to be with the family. But the main thing is obviously that to take advantage of the early morning prayers. You're not going to get a Black Friday moment like this. You know, imagine people oversleeping Black Friday so they don't have their 75-inch TV in their house. You know, it would never happen. You get me? It just imagine, you see the lines, people at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, so they can buy a 75-inch TV so they can sleep till the next Black Friday. But just imagine them oversleeping that night. You understand? So just also, if the night before, don't party too much, because at the end of the day, you really need... There's certain hours in heaven that you really, really want to take advantage of. And you want to at least knock in 1 hour of good prayer. The fact of that is because the light of Purim is... There's nothing like it. It's something that's beyond knowing and knowing. So that's a definite advantage of that. So just, of course, the celebrations, the party, the gift giving, etc. But the main thing is definitely the crying out, because everybody who speaks, their prayers are answered. Now, when they get answered, that's up to heaven. That's something you could say, well, I prayed for last year, I didn't get answered. The scoreboard is in heaven. It's not, we don't determine the timing of when things get answered. But believe me, nothing gets wasted. So that's the one thing you need to take advantage of. And we're going to talk about really, really today in lesson 10. It's a phenomenal teaching. Reb Nachman says that through hand clapping and dancing, we can actually break decrees. So you could say, what in the world are you talking about? In the times of where Reb Nachman had decrees, and the decrees back then were not simple decrees. The decrees back then were the children of the... people would have to go into get converted into the Cantonese army. So you could imagine a decree saying your child, that's it, is going to the Russian army, that's it, you're done. The amount of the decrees that happened back then, and what Reb Nachman said, he said it black and white, he says, through my dancing and clapping, I pushed a decree off 20 years. Through dancing and clapping, because remember, the main thing that we always do when we get hit with bad news is go down into the dumps, worry, and go into a completely withdrawal from spirituality. That's the basic reaction that we all do, and we all get into that mindset. We get overwhelmed by din, by judgment, but the opposite. You actually have to go into the exact opposite of what you would normally do. Like Reb Nachman says many times, do at the end in the beginning. So as I am celebrating many, many cheesecake parties at this moment, because I have major tests that I've gone through this week. I mean, there's something beyond... But again, according to the contraction, is the light itself. So the importance of praying, and the second thing is the importance of dancing and clapping. The dancing and clapping, I'll tell you why. We're going to talk to exactly why dancing and clapping is connected to that. The other thing is, obviously, we fasted yesterday, whoever was able to fast, but also fasting. There's three words, Tzom, Kol, and Mamon. All of these equal fasting, charity, and crying out in prayer. They all have the same numerical value. So they all have the same numerical value. They all have the same value to break a decree. You understand? Just maybe we can get the kids over there. Shh. Okay, that's good. That's good. So they all have the same power to break a decree. So think about any time there's a decree, prayer, fasting, and charity have the power to break a decree. This is exactly what we do in the beginning of the year. But this is exactly on these days. But joy itself, like I said before, and you could say, what in the world? You're telling us the mission statement is joy, and next thing you know, you're giving me 1,000 reasons not to be joy. Do you understand? So it's thinking about, you're giving me 1,000 reasons why I'm having a hard time with happiness. Because exactly that's the mission statement. If God's telling you, you have to be happy, now he's going to tell you to remind you because you're going to have 1,000 reasons not to be happy. So that's exactly why he gives us in this. Because this whole month, this Adar is really, really haster. Haster means it's hidden. It's all hiddenness. It's all concealment. Now, when we get to Nisan, you'll see the revelation of the miracles. But this month, still, it's all concealment and it's all in nature. So Reb Nachman says here that through dancing and clapping and hand clapping, a person can change and break a decree. That means through appropriate attitude, a person can change his decree. And this is the concept of why specifically these two things. Because the Zohar says something incredible. The Zohar says, when a person's heart is happy, he dances and claps his hands. If you go to, I can't even say the Heat anymore, the Dolphins, that's it. If you go, let's say, to Kansas City, and you see teams win, what do people do when they score a touchdown? Dance and clap. What's activating that? Why the hands and feet? It's because the heart is the engine of the hands and feet. The exterior forces in our lives attack you two places. Attack you in the feet and attack you in the hands. It makes you heavy. Heaviness, the slow limbs, the sadness, etc. So when your person says, I'm in bed for 2 days, I can't get out of bed. Again, it's because of the lack of the heart. The heart itself rectifies everything. The heart itself is basically the CEO. The Zohar says that the Ruach blows in 6 sections of the arms. That means that Ruach means the spirit, the person's spirit, the person's energy. Blows in 6 sections of the arms and 6 sections of the legs. So it's incredible that your heart is what's giving you energy. Your heart. That means if you have a good attitude. Now, what does the heart represent practically? The heart represents the tzaddik. Represents Reb Nachman, the whole purpose of Reb Nachman, he says in Lesson 9, the second half, and he says a tzaddik is able to take the ashes, the sadness, and blow a new wind. So when we hear Reb Nachman, what do we get? We get new energy. We get a new dose of air, right? We're sitting there, and many people have told me, listen, I don't know how in the world that exactly you talk about exactly what I'm going through. It's exactly the reason why. It's because we're all connected on a certain level. But it's when you hear something positive, when you hear a good word, it's able to get rid of a bad wind. What causes a bad wind? When you sit there and worry, and we sit there and basically allow this klipa of a malik to get over us. So what happens? You always need a new ruach. You always need a new spirit. You need a second breath, and that is the purpose of teachings. When we're teaching these. These teachings, these are in such a high calibration of energy that when we're just learning it, that has an effect on our hearts, which has an effect on our hands, which has an effect on our feet. So we feel better because we have a new ruach. That's the whole point. So when you're dancing and clapping, it's basically telling you that you've already rectified the heart. You've rectified the heart. You purified your heart. So as a result of purifying your heart, you are in a better mood. We are likely to dance and clapping. You are likely to break the decree. So this is exactly where the concept of faith, yesterday, what a test. This one I never saw coming. And the first thing I went outside, thank you God for this test, and started dancing and clapping. Exactly the opposite. Then I'll call the attorneys afterwards. But first I'm going to dance and clap because I know that this could put me in exile, mental exile. Dancing and clapping, just like that. Like, and my kids are saying, what are you doing? And they started dancing and clapping with me. You understand? That's exactly how. You know why? Why do you have to do this? You could say to myself, why? What, are you crazy? It's because you know nothing anyway. You know nothing anyway. That's the whole point anyway. The whole point is you know nothing anyway. So why not do it? Why not do it? The whole point is you think that this is bad for you. You have no idea this could have been a decree that has to be claimed. We have zero, zero, zero idea why things happen. But if you're on this program of everything God does is for the best, and you're listening to the classes, then you have to actually practice. what are we learning for? Just to sit there and have something to listen to on the car here? No, you're coming here to actually practice and put in the appropriate info. You have a bad date, you have a bad... dance and clap. That's it. That's telling you, you know nothing anyway. That's the whole. The whole point is, if Moshe had recognized he knew nothing, if the most intelligent men in the world recognize they know nothing, then obviously you know nothing also. So we all have to come to that humility of not allowing the current circumstances to knock us down. And this is what Rav Nachman is telling us. The tzaddik, the actual tzaddik, he gives us a new ruach. So what happens? He pumps the oxygen in the heart, and through there, then the hands are lifted. The hands are lifted and the feet are lifted. So Rav Nachman says when a person has a lot of judgment on him, he's not going to be able to lift his feet. He's not going to be able to dance. Because the din itself, remember, the hands itself also, with the if you look at the exterior things, what happens? The feet, if you're going to get tackled, where do you get tackled? You're tackled in the feet, right? And the hands itself represent the sluggishness. The sluggishness. So these are the two things that constantly need flow. And when the feet are lifted, as corresponds to the they're lifted, then divine wrath is mitigated, okay? Because what is causing us to be heavy, what is causing us to be, is because it's a form of idolatry. Anything that in our lives that we don't believe that's for the best, and we start saying, oh, it's this insurance company that destroyed me. This insurance company did this to me. This person did that to me. The Realtors Association destroyed my parnasa. You hear realtors now in Gullis all of a sudden about the 6%. You know, Starbucks is, it looks like a cemetery now. It's the sadness. That's the decree again. You can change nature in a minute, but once we start getting stuck into nature, we start thinking this, then that is idolatry. That's where the word dollar is the same numerical value as amalek. Dollar is 240, amalek is 240. It's incredible, because your doubt is always going to be with money. And ruach corresponds to the hand clapping. I don't know why there's a kindergarten today here in the middle of my class, which is wonderful. It's all great. So Rav Nachman, it's okay. The noise is what it is. So the Zohar says that brings us new feet. So the practicality is that through the mitzvah of Purim, we're able to go get both when you're dancing and clapping, because both of this, Esther represents the feet. Why does Esther represent the feet? Because the feet are normally hidden. Haster is hidden. Your feet are hidden, right? Your hands are revealed. So through this holiday of Purim, you're able to both get, if you pray, to get both the revealed and the hidden portion of the Torah. Now, what does that translate to us practically? It allows us to live in a higher consciousness. Because when you are living with consciousness and you're living with chachma, you're living with the ability to see beyond things, then you are living in a higher consciousness. And that means you feel better and you treat other people better and et cetera. That's what that means. Because if the Torah is not inside of you, it won't do nothing to just be religion. And that's obviously doesn't do much. So it actually goes inside of you. And this is why, again, that's why you need Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai and Esther both represent. Mordechai represents, again, the hands, and Esther represents the hidden. Mordechai is the revealed, Esther is the hidden. And this is why the Torah is called Lev. Why? Because it begins with the Lamed, and ends with a bet. The same thing with the spirit. The whole God is telling you, where's your heart? Where's your heart? This is why, again, the intellect and the heart, it's always the most important thing is those two have to have unification. Intention and attention. If this is disconnected, it's a mind game. I'm going through things just my mind and I don't have, it's like going through a marriage where you don't know the person. That's exactly the same thing as serving God, where, you know, it's an obligation, I have to be here, the kids aren't here, I don't want to get divorced, but I'm not really into it. So that itself is an exile. That itself basically takes away any energy of any kind of newness, etc. So that's why the heart and the mind both have to be connected to this. And this is exactly what Mordechai and Esther, this is why when we clap and dance, not just clapping and dance, because the feet and the hands both have to have this rectification. And again, the main thing of the rectification against Purim is against Haman. Again, what is Haman? Haman is an idol. Haman is idol worshipping. So the Haman represents the lust for physicality today. I need to have this so people can idolize me. You understand? American idol. You get it? American idiot. Idol worshiping. Idol worshiping is Haman itself, because Haman wanted to be worshipped, right? We speak. I want to be validated. I want to be worshipped. You understand this concept of today? People just want to be worshipped. They want to be validated, and that's why they're so depressed, because they should be not asking for validation. They should be asking for liberation, right? And that's why Mordechai, his name is Meror Dor, right? That's his name, comes from Meror Dor, freedom. So the real freedom in your life is when you no longer live a life of constantly going through validation. Now you're liberating. That's the first step towards this thing. You can see how it's all connected on a psychological level. Mordechai and Esther are dancing and clapping. There's a major psychological lesson here on our practicality on this is life. This is what Baruch Hashem I'm able to do, is to put this into practicality. Okay, Mordechai and Esther and Haman, wonderful. But there's so much there in there. And through dancing and clapping, we can annihilate all the decrees. So when you get the worst news in your life, dance and clap. Because you're thinking, again, the worst news that we get, we're thinking automatically, this is bad. The first thing is shutting you down. It's exactly what the job of a Malik is. Shut you down, make you depressed, knock you out of the game. And this is why, what does a Malik do? He attacks the weak ones. He doesn't attack the strong ones. What do you mean he attacks the weak ones? That's not fair. It's because when you are weak, you will be attacked by a Malik. So you have to understand that concept. When you are weak-minded, you are going to get attacked by Malik, and you are going to fall into idolatry. And Haman corresponds to idol worshipping. He made himself into an idol. And this is where it fell in the month where Moshe died. Exactly, the lottery. Rabbi Arush says something beautiful. He says one of the biggest miracles of Purim is that they announced a year that the hanging, that the lottery, it's going to be a year from now. So imagine somebody gives you a year to change. That is the miracle. Well, that's one of the miracles. Imagine I told you, listen, you're going to get sentenced a year from now, but you know you have a whole year to change your decree. That is the kindness that God does. So God always does that. He gives us a situation in our lives, and then he tests us to see what we're going to do with it. He's testing you. He gives you the problem, and then he gives you a time to say, okay, break the decree. You have the ability to break the decree. That is kindness. That is kindness. If you look at it, it's kindness, because otherwise the same day it would have been gone. He gives you the year. He gives you time. He gives you the problem, and he gives you a solution. And what happens he gives you that time, then he'll start bringing you people in your life to give charity to. Problematic relationships to all of a sudden resolve, and all of a sudden you'll see things change because you made changes within yourself, and because you made changes within yourself, you'll see exterior things changing, which is an incredible concept. Because let's say God wants to give $50,000 to this organization, but you would have not given it normally, but because you have this problem, you're vulnerable now, and you're going to give this money. The way the money had to go, it's going to go. But usually, if you don't give it through you're supposed to, you end up giving it through a test. And that's what usually happens sometimes in our lives that we go through. Again, I've gone through every single situation in my life where I can relate to this exactly as the saying. You know, one thing is I'm reading this and I can tell you this happened to me 3 years ago. This happened to me 2 years ago. It's not like we're just reading this and it's 100% true. And this is why Haman rejoiced when the lot fell on Moshe's passing. He presumed that the power of Moshe was gone, because Moshe is ultimately the opposite of idolatry. If you look at Moshe's name, 345, it's the exact name of the name Haron Af. What does Haron Af mean? Haron Af means anger. So basically, when you have, the whole point is like this: when you have faith in your life, you have 100% faith. There is no idolatry in the world. Whenever there's idolatry in the world, that raises divine wrath. If I have faith, there is no divine wrath because it doesn't exist. But when I don't have faith, I fall into idolatry, then divine wrath comes to a person. Now, what does divine wrath mean practically? It means that nature takes over what's supposed to, you lose your divine supervision, and now nature does its thing to you. It doesn't, you don't get the supervision. You just get to deal with nature. You lose the protection. You lose the protection in heaven. You lose the extra protection in life. You deal with what you deal with. It's just, you just get stuck to nature, etc. So that's what we don't want. We want to be careful of that. Because let's say you do have a capital A problem. Next thing you know, you worry about it. You scream at your attorney. He screams at the other one. You're fighting. I can't believe this did that to me. You lose the purpose of that test. You lose the purpose of the test. And that's why we all fall into this automatically. And then you have to take a step back. The first thing we do is, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Blah, 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 blah. Then you have to take a step back. And you have to say, okay, am I handling this correctly or not? That's really, really the key. But when Mordechai and Esther had the power to counter Haman's idolatry, this is why in their day the Jews received the Torah anew. Another thing that he speaks about here is that while Mordechai was speaking to Haman, he was involved in the barley offering. Now he says also, we know that Haman tried to hang the Jews with 50 cubits. So that 50 represents the 50 Omer offerings. What is the 50 Omer offerings? This is the Shavuot, the 49 days plus Shavuot is the 50th day. So we could see that the Torah combats this. So this is why he's saying here, through dancing and Purim, and through hand capping and the power of Purim, or celebrating the 49 days of the Omer plus Shavuot, have the power to break all of these negative cravings in our lives. Because they're both one in one. They're both one in one. And this is why through the emanation of Mordechai and Esther, the aspect of the feet and the factors of the hands, which both represent the freedom, we can break our decrees. And this is, again, the whole point of this whole thing is, what determines my mood? What determines my energy? My belief system. My belief system. And my belief system is my heart. All beliefs are based on the heart. My belief system determines my attitude towards any situation. So if my belief system is good, and I'm thanking God for my situations in my life, then all of a sudden I will be injected with a positive energy, which will elevate my hands and will elevate my feet. And I will be able to handle things through an expanded consciousness. If I don't, then the heart is closed. And as soon as the heart is closed, the hands and the feet go. And that is the sluggishness of doubt and etc. It's pretty much the same concept. So when you're dancing and clapping for no reason, because you have many things to be upset about in life, you are actually breaking decrees. You can break decrees. Rav Nachman, if you look at, if this happened, it's funny, this happened exactly in my trip to Moldova 2 years ago. All of a sudden, going to Uman and these trips, it's the hours, the waiting, it's a lesson in patience. It's the DNV, sitting in the DNV times 100, okay? Times 100 while watching them eat their lunch break. That's the equivalent to these things, okay? It's waiting and waiting and waiting, patience. So all of a sudden, imagine after you did the whole thing. You went to Moldova, you did the whole thing, and now you're on the way back. You just want to catch your flight to Turkey so you can go home. The plane's not working. The plane's not working. And everybody's got connecting flights to every single... Nobody's going from Moldova to Miami. So everybody's got connecting flights, the whole place. And you basically see you see one group of people screaming at the people from Moldova. You see another group of people on their phone, and you see a group of breast lovers just dancing and around the plane. It's crazy. They're dancing around the plane. Nobody knows what the hell they're doing. They're just dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing. And meanwhile, they know they're going to miss every flight, and who knows they're going to get home, and who knows anything. And you wouldn't believe that the dancing got so much that all of a sudden more people came and danced. And all of a sudden, oh, the plane's working. And the plane took off. They kicked us off the plane. Now, usually they'll tell you we need an hour. This one, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with the plane. Like, you have zero idea. But the power of dancing in the middle of an airport at 2 o'clock in the morning while you're exhausted and nothing, it broke the decree and the plane worked and everybody got to their place. That is what we're talking about here. That is the whole point here. Dancing and clapping is able to break your decree because that means your heart has been rectified. If your heart is rectified, everything else is rectified. If the heart is closed, everything else is closed. And the heart is the beginning of faith. The heart's the heart, the medicine of the heart, Rav Nachman says, is faith. Faith is a mark. And this is exactly what the concept of Mordechai raised Esther. He raised her. He elevated her to faith. Basically, she had a lesson in faith before she became the queen. Mordechai was raising her, amana. Amana is the same word as faith. He was raising her. He was prepping her already to where she was going to go. Because remember, she had a point where she questioned whether she was going to do it or not. So this is why he says, who knows? Who knows? Who knows if the Yeshua is not meant to come from you? So this is this whole concept is, it was, she got set up all those years to be programmed for faith so she can show up and thank God we were able to win. And this is the reason why Haman ordered the preparation of the tree of 50 cubits to hang Mordechai. He hoped to undermine the influence of the 50 days of the Omer, which was Mordechai and Esther drew power. Again, both the revealed and the hidden Torah. So may God bless all of us, that we should all have a tremendous Purim, and we should all dance and clap. And again, don't just take this energy of Purim for one day. Start dancing and clapping for no reason. And another reason why, look at just one more reason why. And he's saying here, this is why when Yosef was able to go into Egypt, what did Paro say? That without your permission, no man can lift up his hand or foot if Yosef doesn't declare it. So this is another proof that Yosef itself represented the tzaddik, he represented this rejuvenation. So this is why we learn these teachings. We learn these teachings to elevate our energy so we can get rid of our emotional turmoil. And because once our heart is open, our mind is open. This is, you hear this all the time in the heart chakra opens up the mind chakra, correct? But yes, the Bina is in the heart. So Bina opens up the mind. Bina opens up the mind. When the heart is purified, then our hands, then our energy is changed. And our heart is definitely the concept that, you know, when we scream, you know, in the breast of circles, they take the word called Vatahir Lebeinu, purify my heart, and they scream this out. Purify my heart. Because if the heart is pure, I have no worries about my hands and feet. But if the heart is crooked, then the rest is finished. The heart is really the CEO of the whole body. May God bless all of us, that we should all merit it, to have a purified heart and go into Passover with healing and consciousness. Have a great day.